Well, not like Brother McCurry. He can just stand up here and he don't have to have a note. But I haven't been preaching that long. Perhaps if I would have been sitting under him, I could do that. But I have something that the Lord has laid in my heart and my spirit tonight. And it's something that God is revealing to me out of His Word, two scriptures that is literally changing my life and changing the life of our church.
Amen.
I remember just as a boy, I heard Brother G.C. say, can I just reminisce about 3 minutes?
Amen, please.
That he'd been preaching 56 years. Brother McCurry, in our part of the country, in North Carolina, is well known as a mighty man of God. But the thing that I remembered so vividly about him when I was about 6 years old, or seven, my father, who was a great supporter of Brother McCurry and the move of God, never was a preacher, he was a deacon in our home church. But he asked Brother McCurry to come and put his tent up, I believe, down below our house. My brother Dillard lived, and the tent was in between. And I remember Brother McCurry, as we were trying to put up the tent back in those days, the poles, you know. And, I mean, nobody was any stouter than he was, and he would just about literally put that thing up. But I don't know why, he just said to me, he said, Roland, he said, we're going to need a ladder. Now, he may not remember this, but I remember it. And I said, well, we probably can find some lumber around here somewhere. And he said, well, if you can find the pieces of lumber about 4 foot long, he said, and some 2x4s, I'll make the ladder. So he found the hammer, and we messed around and found enough of timbers to make a ladder. And I didn't think that thing, the way it was wobbling, it would stand up. But I helped him make that ladder, and we put up that tent. And I would always say, if I ever made a preacher, I wanted to be like G.C. McCurry. That's what I said when I was around him. I wanted to be like, I saw such an anointing upon his life. And called into the ministry in 1961, ordained in 62, full-time pastoral work in 1965 in Abbeville, South Carolina. Been at it ever since, 24 hours a day. And I give credit to Brother McCurry as my mentor, my twin brother Nolan. In fact, I called Nolan today and I thought he was going to be here tonight. And we talk about Brother McCurry all the time. And this is the first time I think I've ever been able to minister in his presence. And if you don't believe that that'll give you butterflies, you just try it. But I'm going to do my very best. I want him, as God is revealing to me in these passages of Scripture, for me and my church, I want him to judge what I preach tonight. Now, I don't want him to tell you. But I want him to tell me. Amen. How many knows that the Word needs to be judged by the prophets? That's the reason there's so much false doctrine out here in the world. Everybody thinks they can pick up the Bible and preach the Word and nobody judge it. And that's the reason there's a lot of people being hurt with the gospel. And there are men who are shysters that will use the gospel to take everything that they can. So I sit in honor of this man of God tonight. And I ask him to judge and correct me after the service or sometime when I can come back and visit him. But in 1 Chronicles chapter 12 is one of the scriptures that God's been burning or has burned in my spirit for nearly 2 to 3 years now. And some things that I just want to release tonight that I believe that will help the body of Christ.
Right.
But in 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 32, and the children of Issachar, which were men that had an understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. The heads of them were 200 and all their brethren were at their command.
Right.
I read that a couple of years ago, perhaps a little longer than that. And God burned into my heart. He said, I have always had set men to know what I'm doing in every generation and in every time. And he said, search my word, for I will bring you to a place with your people and with your church that I'm going to literally change you from what you are to where I want you to be. And the change has started, and it hasn't been easy. But it is something that we must press forward in.
Amen.
If we're going to see the sons of God in these last days rise up and take their authority and their ability in this land. It's not the educators, it's not the lawyers, it's not the Republicans or the Democrats that's going to help this nation. It's going to be the sons of God that is coming to full maturity, walking across this land like a mighty army doing exploits in His name. Now, I believe that. And I just made a note to tell you, as I read this scripture and the other scripture that I will read in a moment, as I read that scripture, I said in my heart, there must be more. There must be more. There must be more than just the traditional way of doing things, of going to church and having our two songs, praying our request prayers, singing two more songs, take the offering, and then have a sermon and go home. And it become methodical, and the church traditionally lost their anointing.
Amen.
And I began to realize in those days that there must be more. I was raised in a Pentecostal church. As Brother McCurry mentioned this morning, I saw the Bakers, I saw the Quakers, and I saw the Shakers. I saw it all in the church. Amen. And I'm not belittling that. The Holy Ghost does quicken your body. It does jerk you at times. But I'm just telling you, I've went through all of that. And in my spirit says, yet there are more. Everybody say, yet there are more. How many believes that there are more? Now I want you to know that there was something begin to happen that to stir in me to find out in the Word what that more was. And then I found another scripture that is in Hosea chapter 6 and verse 2 that I want you to notice with me that will be really the basis of the message tonight. Hosea chapter 6 and verse 2, he said, after 2 days, everybody say 2 days, will he revive us. And in the third day, say third day, he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight or in his presence.
Amen.
Now, the one thing that's going to be done in 2 days.
Amen.
Notice that. 2 days, God's going to revive us.
Yes.
But in the third day, he's going to do two other things. He's going to raise us up and he's going to bring us into his presence.
Amen.
And we're going to get into his presence like the body of Christ has never saw before.
Amen.
So I want you to notice and keep in your mind the 2 days and the third day. He said in that verse, after 2 days I will revive us, and in the third day he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight or in his presence. Now I want you to notice with me, and don't bother this, but I want you to notice with me that I want to talk on the third day. I want us to look at what's happening in the third day. This is something that God is speaking into my spirit. And I'm going to tell you there's going to be such a move of God in this third day that no generation has ever saw. And I know as I stand here tonight, I cannot preach to you anything deeper than what you know. Some of you may be much deeper than I am. But I am seeing something happen in the third day. All right, I want you to look with me. In the first 1,000 years of Christianity, that was the first day. The second 1,000 years of Christianity was the second day. And on January 1, 201, we began the third day. The third day. If you will notice, Peter said, I believe it's in 2 Peter, he said, 1,000 years with God is one day, and one day is 1,000 years. How many has read that?
Amen.
Now, God does not count time like we do. We count time as a 24-hour day, and 1,000 years is a long time. I don't know anybody, even in the Bible, that physically lived 1,000 years. Methuselah got close to it, 969. But physically, he died, did he not? When I notice in God's time, he says that 1,000 years is as one day, and one day as 1,000 years. Now, when I see that, then I have to understand this, that 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ was born into the world. Is that not true? Well, did you know we're going over in the third millennium? We call it a millennium. It's 1,000 years. But God calls it one day. So I want you to look with me at what will happen in the third day. We have come through the first day. We have come through the second day. Now, there's something, according to Hosea 6 and 2, that's going to happen in the third day. Two things. He's going to raise us up, and we're going to get in His presence. It's not revival in the third day. Revival came in the second day. How many remembers the great revivals of 1948 when Israel became a nation? There's always something parallel there. When something happens to Israel, something happens in the church. Israel became a nation in 1948. Isn't that true?
Amen.
And then what happened? There was a move of God that came in America, the Oral Roberts ministry, the Kenneth Hagin ministry. Are you with me tonight? Cole's ministry. Many other ministers with a healing ministry came to us in those days and tried to revive us or bring revival to the church. Now let me tell you, revival is not coming in the third day. We're going to get in His presence in the third day. The Bible said in Hosea, He revived us in the second day. But in the third day, we're going to be raised up into His presence. Now, church, I'm not looking for another revival. I am looking for the presence of God and the Holy Ghost to be on us and in us in such a way that we're going to be able not to see His hand, but to see His face. I want to get in His face. How about you? Now, if you will understand with me that God, through the process, has brought us to where we are. And we had our great revivals in the second day, in the first and the second day. But it's different in the third day. I remember hearing Brother McCurry and some of the ministers in my young life talk about a move of God that's coming. Something supernatural and miraculous is going to come upon the face of this earth. And I believe that God, in this third day revelation, third day message, that God's going to pour out His power, not a revival, but bringing us into His face, into His presence, until we'll begin to live. The traditional walls are coming down. The flesh is being crucified. And you and I will absolutely die in the third day. today. If we're not willing to die, we will not get into His presence. I'm tired of going to church and having beautiful services. How about you? I want to get in God's presence. And when I walked in this house tonight, there was a leading, the singing, and we were in the presence of God. I didn't walk in this house and hear you talking about your vacations and your fishing trip. Most churches you go in, that's what you hear. But in this house, when we see the third day, we're going to get in His presence. Do you hear me? Now, the first 1,000 years was the first day. The second 1,000 years was the second day. But now, as I said, in January 1 of 2001, we started the third millennium, which is the third day. Now, I want us to be third-day believers, third-day churches, third-day people getting in the presence of God. I don't want to go back under the law, do you? Because the first day and the second day, they were under the law. Jesus was not a lamb. He was a man. He was represented as a lamb in the Old Testament, but on the cross, He was God in the flesh, dying that me and you may not have to serve an idol, but that we can come in to His presence. God is desiring a remnant, and I believe that there is a remnant that's coming forth in this third day that's going to get in His presence, and we're going to see the miraculous things of God as it's never happened before. As I heard him say, prophesying to us, I consider him an apostle. That this religious spirit, this intellectual spirit, hey folks, it's not all in the universities today. It's not all in the elite that live high. God needs a man. God needs a woman that will get in His presence, and He'll do things that professors cannot do and universities cannot touch. God needs a people to get into His presence. Would you just lift your hands and praise Him? This is the third day, and we're already in it. We just got to see it. He said in the first day, the second day, He will revive us, but in the third day, we will live in His presence. Now, I want to tell you something. You cannot, will never be able to bring over into the third day the baggage that you had in the second day. Most churches are living in the second day. But God is going to have a remnant. Amen. And we may be persecuted. I'm bearing some of that now. We're going to be persecuted. But God's going to have some men and women who is not going to bring the baggage over from the first and the second day, the law and tradition, into the third day, because we're going to get in His presence. Right. And we're going to walk in His presence 24 hours a day. To walk in His presence doesn't mean that you're shaking and doesn't mean that you're screaming at God. A third-day Christian is one who walks in His presence when he gets up in the morning, or walks in His presence through the day, and we're overcomers in the process. And God touching our lives, I want to be a third day. How about you? Amen. Let's look at the first 1,000 years of Christianity was the first day. The second 1,000 years of Christianity, everybody say, second day. On January the 1st, 2001, we began the third day. I'm in the third day. Amen. Now, I'm doing my best not to bring any baggage over.
All right.
Amen. Because if I bring any baggage of the second day over, I was in the revivals of the second day.
Oh, yeah.
I was saved in the revivals of the second day. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
But God is doing something different in the third day, in this third millennium.
Now you say, but where do you get and how do you get the third day? In 2 Peter, I believe it's 2:8, he said, and let me say again, understand that 1,000 years of the Lord is as 1 day, and 1 day as 1,000 years. So what we're saying, it is a third day for us to understand it. So let's look at some things. I found on the third day in the Scriptures, there are some most powerful occurrences, Brother McCurry, that happened on the third day.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you need to go to your computer. Thank God for computers. All you got to do is punch in the third day and look what happened on the third day in the Old Testament, in the first and the second day, and you'll see what I'm talking about. We are entering the third day. There were some, and I can't talk but of two or three of these occurrences in the second day that has a relevance to the third day. See, what we're not seeing is that God moves in His own way from one generation to the other.
Amen.
Now, there's a lot of signs and insights in the Old Testament that will break upon our understanding to let us know what He's doing in this third day.
Right.
Brother McCurry said this morning, we're the most blessed generation. We are. We're living in the greatest time on God's earth. We just need to understand who we are in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. We're not defeated. We're the head and not the tail.
Right.
Well, you got to. It is this all ain't based on money. Amen. If you get in His presence, if you become a third day son of God, I will believe her. I want you to know God's going to furnish you physically, financially, and spiritually. But get the flowing in His presence, and all of this other is going to take care of itself. Now, God, if you'll bless me financially, I'll fast and pray. That ain't the way it works.
Oh, no, no.
You've got to let God know that you're His child, and no matter if you don't have a house to live in, you want to walk in His presence, and you get in His presence, and before you know, you're going to have a house to live in.
That's right.
We've had this thing backward. We don't beg God. You don't beg God.
No,
you believe God. You get His promises, and you believe what He said. Philippians 4:19 said, but my God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. How many knows that Jesus was raised the third day?
Amen.
Now our blessings and our provision is coming who? Through Jesus Christ.
Right.
Now we got to understand what He did. More than just what we have been told traditionally from our pulpits. That God is real and we can get in His presence. But I want to show you an occurrence that happened in the second day. It is relevant to the third day. Abraham. God told Abraham to take Isaac and go yonder to a mountain that I have upon it and offer Isaac a sacrifice. The Bible said that he got Isaac and his son and the wood in the fire and he started out. Now notice this. You read it. It's in Genesis 22. You read that. Genesis 22:4. And as they were walking along, Isaac said, Dad, this is strange. I have been with you when you've offered animals before. You have taught me how to properly lay the wood and the sacrifice. You have taught me properly how to light the fire before God to offer a sacrifice. But he said, something is strange. Behold the wood and the fire. But where is the sacrifice? Is that not what it says?
What he said.
All right, the Bible said after Isaac had said that, said on the third day, he looked and saw the place that he was to offer Isaac. The third day. Everybody say third day. Now he is in the second day. Woo, but he's seeing something in the third day. They went on to the top of the mountain. And Abraham was going to literally kill his son. But God was in the process. No matter what you're going through, God is in the process. You will not have to be the sacrifice upon the altar of the devil for your faith and believing God. In the process, God is there when you don't see Him. How many believes that God is invisible? We serve Him not by sight or by feeling. How many knows faith is not a shadow? Faith is not a feeling. Faith is simply believing that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that love Him or seek Him. Faith is not a physical force. Faith is not something you can touch with your hand or see with your eye. It is absolutely a spiritual law if you want to know how faith is. And it works not in the realm of the flesh, but it works in the realm of the Spirit. Now, as you believe God, your faith in the realm of the Spirit may manifest a healing in your flesh. He may manifest a provision made in your life. But faith is not something you can see. It's something that you use.
Amen.
And it is a spiritual force. So quit trying to find it through a physical realm or through physical emotions. Amen. You can stand in this church and shout all night. That don't increase your faith whatsoever. You can do all of the religious exercise you want to do. Read all of the catechisms that you will. Join every church in town, and that don't increase your faith a bit. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It is the Word of God that builds your faith. It is the revelation of the Word that builds your faith. Now, when he said that, he said, faith cometh continually. Continually hearing the Word. The more you hear the Word, the more your faith is going to be built.
Right.
Get a cassette. Amen. We have no excuse. It's on CDs now. I waste no time when I'm alone. I have a CD in my automobile, and I've got the entire Bible. And I'm going down the road, and I'm listening. If you travel a lot, you can go through the whole Bible in less than a year by filling your heart and your mind with the Word. Turn off that jazz on the radio. Throw away them CDs that God's not pleased with. Clean up the flesh and begin to feed the Spirit, and God will cause our faith to rise, and then we'll become the head and not the tail. Amen. We'll be above and not beneath. There is a remnant in this hour that is going to attain that.
That's right.
They have been hid away. They've been persecuted. They can show you some scars, but they have not lost the revelation of what's going to happen in this third day. So it was a third day. That's significant to understand the third day message, the third millennium that we're living in. Isaac, and they walked, and he was going to kill Isaac. He even bound him and put him on the altar in the proper manner. But as he raised his hand,
hallelujah,
God stopped it. Amen. Don't be upset with God when he stops you from doing something. When you think it was a revelation and it wasn't, and it just didn't work out, that's to your advantage. Are you listening to me? That's to your advantage. But let me tell you, he went to kill him and God stayed his hand. Now the reason he could not kill Isaac, Jesus was the lamb that indeed would be killed and crucified in the third day. Had he went ahead and cut off Isaac's head and made him the sacrifice in the lineage of faith, then we would have had a contradiction of who the real sacrifice was, Isaac or Jesus. Isaac was only symbolic of the Messiah who would come and be crucified and arise the third day. How many can see that? Now notice, he's letting us in on something in the third day. The Bible said he looked and he saw a lamb caught by the horns in the thicket. So familiar to us. They didn't offer rams under the Old Testament. God just made a way for a sacrifice in the second day that did not affect the third day. Are you listening to me? Had Isaac, the promised seed, isn't that right? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If he would have been killed, who would have took Isaac's place? Because by divine order, Isaac was in the lineage to bring Jesus, the supreme one, to this world. How many can see that? So, in that third day, we're seeing something happen that is symbolically going to happen in the third day.
Amen.
Amen. And Jesus, we'll get to that. So, that is what is intriguing to me when I study the Scripture. Let me share with you, if you will, another happening in the third day about life and death. Hezekiah was sick unto death. And the prophet of God came in and said to him, Hezekiah, get your house in order. You're going to die. Am I quoting that right? That's in 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 5. Now the prophet went in. Wasn't he a prophet? And he didn't miss God. He did what God said to do. Now Hezekiah is going to have to do something about the situation. There are prophets of God will come and tell you what's going to happen. And if you don't change the situation by what the man of God said, it will happen to you. Amen? Because it's up to you to do something with it in that situation. So Hezekiah, he said, get your house in order. Hezekiah was laying on the bed, according to the Scripture. And he mused this thing in his spirit and in his heart. He said, the prophet of God said that I'm going to die. I'm going to die before my time. How many knows God wasn't through with Hezekiah? It wasn't his time to die. It's not your time to die either. It's time to get in his presence and live and be healed. So Hezekiah, when he thought about it, the Bible said he turned his face. Now here's what you got to see. On the third day, read it for yourself. The prophet came on the first day. Told him what's going to happen. For 2 days, he thought about that thing. Now he's in the balance of life and death. But he said it was on the third day. If you'll read it, that's what that scripture says. He turned his face to the wall and he prayed.
Amen.
Then God spoke to the prophet who was going out of town on the third day. Are you receiving anything?
Yes.
And summoned the prophet to come back to Hezekiah's house for the purpose to tell him, you shall not live or die, but God has added 15 years to your life.
Amen.
Now, it says particularly that happened on the third day.
Yes.
Now, there is a process in this. The flesh has got to die.
Yeah.
Roland has got to die. I can play around with the flesh and go through my religious exercise all I want to, and that don't impress God. But there is a remnant in this third day. They're young, they're middle-aged, and they're older. But there is a remnant in this third day that is absolutely going to have spiritual life.
Right.
And God is going to live in them, and they're going to live in His presence.
Yeah.
Amen. Can you see what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Romans 8, I don't have time to go there. There's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. You get in Christ Jesus on the third day. And you begin to live in Him.
Amen.
But Lord, I've been in Jesus across all my life. But you haven't lived in His presence like we're going to live.
Amen.
We're not going to hit and miss.
That's right.
Amen. When we get in His presence and we die out to Him, and the spirit man takes over like it had a hold of Adam before he committed high treason. He lived and walked in the presence of God every day.
Amen.
Now what happened? He fell to a flesh concept of living. And we haven't totally crucified the flesh yet.
Right.
All we've been taught, we're born again. But we haven't been taught that we can live in this world.
Amen. True.
In His holy presence.
Amen.
We're not out of court children.
No.
We're not inner court children.
No way.
We are sons and daughters of God, equipped to go in to the holiest of holies where we can commune with God for ourselves.
Right.
You believe that? Give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. There is a company. There is a remnant. There are going to be some sons and daughters of God that is going to see the third day message. And they're going to live in His presence. Now Hezekiah had his life extended. Quit telling God to hurry up. He knows right where you are. You're not late.
No.
You're not outdated. God just wants us to get in the third day. That's where we're going to see a mighty move of God. Lest I get long tonight, let me tell you. John chapter 2 and verse 1. That was the marriage of Cana of Galilee. And Jesus was there. Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Jesus' disciples was there. Mary was so involved in that wedding. Jesus had been invited. But the Bible said they run out of wine. And Mary quickly goes to Jesus and says, "We're out of wine." He said, "Well, woman, what is that to me? My hour is not yet come." Huh? What's this third day operation? How many knows that Jesus moved over in the third day when He was here? And He looked around when Mary left and He said, "Fill the water pots." They tell us that they held three or four firkins apiece. See? Several gallons of water. I believe it was 72 gallons that all these water pots held. 72 gallons. And they poured, and Jesus, on the third day. Are you getting this? It was on the third day, the Bible says in that verse, that Jesus turned the water into wine. How many knows it's the wine that we need?
Amen.
What we have done in the second day, we've got a little tingle and a touch of God. But we become set in our ways, and man-made machinery was formulated, and we set up our committees and our rulers, and we got politics in the church. By and large, that's the way most churches are run. It's not by the fivefold ministry concept or the eldership. The Bible says they ordain elders and deacons in every church.
Amen.
Amen. But by and large, in the church at large out here, it's run on who's the most popular and who can get the most votes on election day. God is sick and tired of that stuff.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Don't get upset with me. God is looking for a people who will come over in the third day and listen to the men of God and begin to operate in a third day revelation where we can get in His presence as never before.
Amen.
Don't bring that baggage of the second day over. If you do, you're not going to be able to get in His presence in the third day.
Yeah.
And on the third day, He turned the water to wine. You know, something real strange happened. He said, bear that to the governor now. They was all so full, they couldn't hardly drink anymore. But he said, take the governor. He specifically, I want to tell you, that governor had all he wanted to drink. But he specifically said, take it to the governor.
Amen.
And he tasted his lips. And he said, what have you done to me? Why have you left it? You're supposed to serve the best wine first. But said, you've left the best
to the last.
To the third day. How many knows that God sees from the end? He starts from the end, He comes back to the beginning. And He knows your life. He can work from either perspective, from the end backward or from the beginning forward with you. Amen?
Amen.
So on the third day, He turned the water to wine. There's more we'd like to say there, but I know that you can understand more of this than I can. I'm digging in the Word to see, and I want to make the changes that I have to make in my life to walk in this third day revelation until we'll see a move of God that will shake our counters and will shake our world. This world don't belong to the Republicans and the Democrats. This world don't belong to the Hitlers and the Kosygins and the Maos. This world doesn't belong to the idol God that is stretched across the mountains. This earth belongs to God's remnant. And hear me, we will possess it in due time.
That's right.
Oh, just praise Him a little bit. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, in the second day we're revived. But in the third day, He's going to raise us up right into His face.
Hallelujah.
And into His presence.
Glory.
I look back, Brother G.C., when I see this, and I miss so much.
Oh, yeah.
You tried to tell me years ago.
Yeah.
I miss so much. What I've got to do for God from here on out, I've got to get busy.
Come on.
Because I thought for years it was the system. That everything you did through the system. The system has robbed us.
That's right.
Woo! Woo! Hallelujah! The system has robbed us of a revelation in God. There has been a remnant that's been thrown out of the system when they would rise up with a revelation. Men of God has been excommunicated by boards by the doctrine that they preached.
Right.
And all God was doing was raising them up in their midst to show them where God wants us. If you're not willing to change, you'll never get closer to God.
Amen.
Spiritual growth denotes change after change after change. How many of you believe it? Look at somebody and say, I'm willing to change. I'm willing to change. Those in the second day, many of them are not willing to change. That's why I've asked your pastor to come. And I'm so glad that the elders are coming. We're starting our church on a road
Amen.
Where the system controls us no more.
Amen.
We want to get in the face of God. We have got to be part of this third day remnant that's rising in the earth.
That's the truth.
Amen. Let me go on. I know my time's getting away. He didn't say how long. But can I have just a few more minutes? I want you to notice something else with me. In John chapter 2 and verse 1, Jesus was resurrected on the third day. There's so much in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that is so relevant to this third day. This third millennium that we're living in. I believe whatever, I don't know all that God has. I don't know what all the consummation is. But whatever God's going to do with us, it is in this third millennium. It is in this third day. Whether it's at the beginning of it or the ending of it, it is in this third millennium, this third day, that God's going to do what He wants to do for the human race. Amen. Did you hear what I said? The third day. This is it. This is the third day. This is the millennium. When God is going to consummate whatever He is doing in the sons and the daughters of God in this hour. Oh, do you love Him tonight? He was raised on the third day. Why wasn't He resurrected on the second day? Or the first day? He chose the third day, which is representative of this millennium that me and you are in. We live because He lived. He didn't die on that cross for Himself. He died for the third day, company of saints, and the women are coming forth in this hour to do what He wants to do through my life and your life. Can I say to you, I've got to take that to do this. God said for me to tell you that He didn't send you here by chance to this fellowship. And you didn't just look up by driving by. God said that you two come in perfect order. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You're right on time. I see it in the Spirit.
Yes.
So you can't see any things in the Spirit. Yes, you can. God sent you to this fellowship. And I don't care what happens. You stick with what God wants you to do.
That's right.
I'm going to tell you, I see you growing so fast.
Hallelujah.
In the Lord. Coming to maturity.
Yes.
3 months from now, you won't even know. You'll be so far in Him, you'll look back and say, lift your hands right now, that I didn't know that it could be this way. I say unto you that they will be spirits, they will be things that will try to draw you away. There will be people that will tell you you should not go to that place. But if I know anything about God as He's took me out of this message, that you didn't come to this fellowship and under this pastor man of God by church or by luck, it's by divine order. Everybody lift your hands and praise God. Oh, I feel that. Is that all right?
Hallelujah.
Amen. You just have to take out when God does that.
That's right.
Just praise Him again right now, children. In fact, the Lord said you're going to be a third day couple. You're going to join with that third day company. Oh, I wish I could tell you what I see. But God's doing something. It's hard for my mind to unravel, Brother Bukuri. What He's doing in this hour. God adds to the church such as should be there. Not man If I believe that church membership saved me, I'd join every church in Athens and frame my church letter. But that don't save me.
No way.
I found a man called Jesus. And he arose the third day.
Amen.
That I might have life.
Amen.
And get busy for him. In the third day he arose. James chapter 4 and verse 7, and I move quickly. Submit yourselves therefore to God and resist the devil and he will flee from you. In the first day we ran from the arrows of the enemy. But in the third day, we will bend the bow of the enemy. No longer will he walk over us as he did in the second day. No longer will the iron foot of tradition and flesh dictate to us. We will break his bow and it will fall at our feet in the third day. Look at somebody and say, I'm going to break the devil's bow. If he's attached himself to you through some infirmity, break that bow in the name of Jesus. If he has been bothering you in some area of circumstance, in the second day you took it. But when you understand as a third day move of God, you will break that bow and you will be set free. Hallelujah. I said in the first day we ran from the arrows of the enemy. But in the third day, we're going to stand and break his bows. And his arrows will drop at our feet. Isaiah 68:1, it says, let God arise, and let his enemies be scattered. Let them also flee from him before thee. Let God arise. You know what that's saying? And I'm coming to a close. But notice this. In the first day, we feared the devil. In the second day, he tried to overcome us. But in the third day, he will fear us.
That's right.
You didn't get that. I said in the first and the second day, we feared the devil. I'm afraid this is going to happen. I'm afraid that's going to happen. I'm afraid I'm going to get this and I'm going to get that. I can't go on that trip. I'm afraid I'll be killed. I don't want to get on that airplane. It might fall. Huh? Get a little older, well, I'm glad I went to church while I was young. I just can't go like I used to. Amen. I'm going to tell you the devil will keep a skip in our heel all the days of our life if we will allow him to.
Amen.
Don't bring that on you. Don't let your age captivate you by the words of your mouth. The Bible said life and death is in the tongue. What you say is what you are. But I said in the first and the second day, we feared the devil. But in the third day, he's going to fear us. In the second day, we were divided. And please listen to this. If anything is made real to my spirit, man, it's this. In the second day, we were divided by denominational bickering.
Amen.
I know I've been there.
Yes.
I've heard and saw the fights on the floor.
That's right.
God's fixing to handle that mess.
Sure.
Because that has kept thousands of people from moving into God what wants them to be. God is going to shake leadership in the traditional church.
Oh, yes.
And you're going to see it go to happening real soon.
That's true.
In fact, it's already happening.
Glory
be to God. See, I don't know what you've been thinking, but you got to get rid of that negative thinking.
Right.
If you keep on thinking what you've always thought, you keep on getting what you've always got.
True, right?
How many of you know that?
Amen.
We got to change the way we think.
Hallelujah.
Man, can I say that again?
Yeah.
Amen. I don't know what you've been thinking, but you got to get rid of that negative thinking. If you keep on thinking what you've always thought, you keep on getting what you've always got.
That's the truth.
I'm just about through. In the second day, we were divided by denominational bickering.
Yeah.
In the third day, we will be united as a company of believers in the presence of God. And would you just lift your hand and say, God, I want to be a third day. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's where I'm going. I'm breaking loose. How about you? And I don't look back behind me and said, all of that garbage is going to stay in the second day.
Right.
I'm going to go over into the third day. A new creation in Christ Jesus, as we sung about tonight. In the second day, we sat down in comfortable pews and listened to beautiful sermons. But in the third day, we will stand up in the middle of our cities and proclaim deliverance to every man and woman that has been bound by the adversary.
Amen.
Woo! We need some men of God walking to the hospitals, don't we?
Yeah.
We need some men of God coming on the scene as it was a few years ago. God's going to restore what the caker won, the caterpillar and the locust has taken away from us in the second day.
Amen.
In the second day, we were victims. But in the third day, we will be victors.
Amen.
I want you to get that. In the second day. And I can't go into victims. There's so much that we were victims of that the devil used. But I just want to state it this way. In the second day, we were victims. But in the third day, we are victors.
Amen.
Amen. Look at somebody and say, I'm a victorious believer.
I'm victorious.
In the second day, we simply survived. But in the third day, we will indeed. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet with me.
Hallelujah.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
Brother G said, there's nothing but for me. Thank you for letting me come. Hallelujah. I want you to listen to this. In the second day, we were simply survivors. Oh, but in the third day, we will be successful.
Hallelujah.
I mean, oh, I feel a unity here tonight.
Hallelujah.
As I close, let Jesus live in our pulpits again. Let Jesus live in our hearts one more time. Let Jesus live in our prayer lives again. Let Jesus live in our holiness. Let Jesus live in our hunger and our thirst for His Word.
Hallelujah.
All of that is happening in the third day.
Hallelujah.
In the second day, Isaac was offered. In the third day, Jesus arose. Jesus rode into that town on a donkey, a very stubborn animal, which represents all of us. But when He comes again, He's going to be riding the horse as the lion of the tribe of Judah.
Amen.
He's not coming back riding a donkey.
No way.
He's coming back as a lion and the tribe of Judah. I want to be a third day. Hallelujah. I want to see more of God. I'm here. That's the reason I'm here. That's the reason I didn't even know you was in this convention. But God spoke to me and said to have Brother McCurry to come to our church. And I called him, and he said, told me what he was doing, and he said, I want you to come. I would have never believed in 1,000 years that I would have preached here. But you know, God knows. And He's coming to help us. I want to be a third day. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother McCurry, can I have us all to come down and pray together, and then I'll turn it back to you. Everybody that will, just come on down. If I've preached too long, I'm sorry. I just wanted to share what's in my heart. This is what God, I believe, is doing in this hour. As you come, remember, Jesus said, 1,000 years is as one day with Him, and one day is 1,000 years. And that's where we arrive with this message, that 2,000 years or days have passed. January 1, 2001, we went into that third millennium, which is a third day. Now look at me. Don't bring any of that garbage over in the third day, or you will be a third day bound Christian. He said in 2 days He will revive us. We've had some of the greatest revivals that could have ever been in the second day. He didn't say revival was going to do it in the third day. He said we're going to come into His presence. He's revived us in the second day to get us into His face, into His presence. I know people that goes to church, it's like robots. They haven't felt the presence of the Lord in so long. That when a little move of God comes, they think it's wildfire. Hallelujah. I want to be a third day Christian. Amen. Hallelujah. Daughter, the Lord said, don't worry anymore. That thing that's been coming up and going, that's been bothering and worrying you, God said He's taking care of it. Now lift your hands and praise God. You're coming. You're coming into God's face. Listen, honey, don't seek His hand. Seek His face. We're tired of just going to church. But God's going to have a people that's going to get in His presence. And God said to tell you that there are things that's been bothering you. But you're going to be a third day. You're not going to bring it over. And not many days it's going to leave, and you'll know it. In Jesus' name. Praise God with her right now. Hallelujah. Do you love Him? Brother, the Lord said to tell you, don't worry physically about anything. Because you're sitting in the palm of His hand. And He knows your faithfulness. And He will be your rear guard. A hedge will come around you, saith the Lord, that the enemy will not be able to penetrate, saith God. God said some things that you've been worrying about, you worry no more. Don't bring it over. I don't care who it is, but God said it's gone. And I don't know why, but the Holy Spirit told me to take the tip of my fingers and touch your forehead. In the name of Jesus, I do it. Father, what you want right now.
Hallelujah.
Give in to the Holy Ghost, daughter, right now in the name of Jesus. God's doing something. Hallelujah. Hallelujah right now. Hallelujah. You're in for some great things from God. Hallelujah. Raise your hands and praise God. Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. So Rehoboam said, Lord, I can't do it. I can't build the temple. I can't build the task. He said, that's right. Because it's not by might, not by power, Zerubbabel, but it's by my Spirit. God said that He's going to do, and He's going to be a spiritual thing. But there is an anointing coming upon you that's not been there. that from this night forward, God's going to place an anointing upon you. Lift your hands and receive it right now in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
GC knows my track record. Brother, God's fixing to place an anointing on you as never before. Are you ready for it?
Amen.
Oh, I feel that. You're ready for it.
Amen.
Glory be to God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Let's just keep our minds on the Lord for a moment. Amen. You see, this is what we've got to do. We've got to get in His presence. God's, that's what He's bringing you over into the third day.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I believe you do. Some of those little things are just going to fall off. Quit worrying about your health. Quit worrying about how it's going to be. God said, you are a survivor, daughter. You are a survivor. Somebody say survivor.
Survivor.
Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many knows we're survivors?
Yes, Lord.
Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Well, hallelujah. God spoke to our church and said, this place will never be the same. We are determined to cast every bit of stinking tradition that's ever been in us. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Oh, I just feel the gifts of the Spirit.
Thank you, Father.
And I'm not going to delay the service. I'm going to turn it back to the pastor. Let's lift our hands and praise God as He comes.
Hallelujah.
On the third day. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
A great word.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
A great word.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's just stand here a minute. You see, we've heard about the third day, and we're not living anymore in the religiosity of the church realm. God said through Isaiah 55:8, my thoughts are not your thoughts. So you've got to change your thinking. And that's what repentance is. Change your thinking.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. When you repent, you're changing your thinking. Then He said, my ways are not your ways. And why not? Because you don't think right.
Hallelujah.
And He gave you the Holy Spirit. Come on. And, you know, the church world calls them gifts, but that's not what they are. A manifestation of the Spirit. Manifestation of the Spirit. And in the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, He gave you the ability to think like God.
Amen. Exactly. Amen.
Then He gave you the ability, when you think like God, to talk like God. Then if you think and talk like God, you're going to act like God. Hallelujah. And that's third day ministry. Acting like God. Somebody said, well, what's the preacher meant by living in His presence? In the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. Some of you are sour puss. You look like you're sucking lemons and eating dill pickles. No wonder nobody wants what you've got. I wouldn't have it. Learn how to live. Learn how to enjoy life. Laugh in the devil's face. Oh, hallelujah. Laugh in the devil's face. Oh, hallelujah. Now we're going to the fellowship hall.